Notice a difference though in moving from the tubes to the transistors in terms of the reliability of the electronic components you're using in production?
Well,
were they less dicey than the vacuum tubes?
I think that they became more reliable, yeah. And longer life, less heat. That's one of the big things. Heat, of course, is the
right
thing that does most of the damage.
And were you using components that were made by, I guess it was the Helipot division at that time? You know, because wasn't part of Beckman Instruments was creating electronic components.
Well, yeah, of course, we did use the Helipot in most all the instruments.
Right.
Yeah. Because it was designed originally for the Model G and the Model M.
Mm-hmm.
So it was continually used for most all the instruments, any place where you needed a variable voltage.
Right. But further than that, you know, wasn't that division also making transistors? Or?
No, I don't think they made transistors.
Okay. Maybe they made different.
They made, what do they call it? Well, they had a group of resistors, maybe in a small package. Can't even think of what they call those now, but they're integrated, kind of an integrated circuit,
mm-hmm.
but it was mainly just resistors, and I don't think they made any transistors.
Okay.
Pat, while you're doing that, would you run three of them?
Let's see.
By the way, after I was, when I was. I got was into this nuclear stuff, making those instruments, and finally the fellow that was in charge of the spectrophotometer testing, that group, they'd had a group just to test the spectrophotometers, the bigger ones, he wanted to go back to, what was it, production engineering, I think it was, so my boss decided that I would take over that group. So I left the nuclear section and went into, I then became in charge of the spectrophotometer testing. So we did all of that work. That's what I did when I left.
What was that like? Can you describe that?
Well, I can describe the fact that the department was in pretty bad shape when I took over. And I did make quite a number of changes there. And got it back into the point where we could see what we were doing and get it running properly. So it was that was an interesting job, getting things back in shape.
Oh, what, it just suffered from inattention or something?
Well, instruments, customers would order instruments in a certain configuration, and they didn't know what the customer was going to order. So they would build instruments in various types, you know, and then
mm-hmm.
store them, wait until a customer would order something like that. And that wasn't the way that I operated the other nuclear section, so
mm-hmm.
I would start off and get together with the sales group and find out, now, what have we got ordered? What's the customer want? And so we'd sit down and make a list of what was required there, and then I'd make up a list of all the different portions of the different kinds of instruments that they wanted, and I'd check and find out what was already made. I had my office girl, I went through and found out what was already made, made a complete list of that, found out what we could use for shipping without building new ones, because there were maybe 100 instruments or something like that.
Wow.
We're sitting around on skids, you know. But we finally got that thinned down, and I made some other reports and things that were used by the groups that made the instruments originally, tell them what style instrument to make, and then to us and then to inspection. And it was, they started to run pretty smooth after that. It worked out all right. I did about the same thing with the nuclear thing.
Yeah, I was just about to ask if your thoughts
about that. It was pretty much the
same
sort of thing. That was something that required this. The way I got this, supervisors went to a, we had meetings where we'd go out to different plants. We went down to the automobile manufacturing plant in one of the places in Los Angeles, and I noticed that everything was flowing together. The frames were picked up and put on the line, and the motors would come and sit in here, and then the bodies would come down, and everything, the wheels, it was all meshed. Hey, why can't I do that with the instruments? So that's what I did there. We had certain things that we had to build, a box for the component boards where they'd slide in. They had to be made a certain way for particular instruments. So I'd make up a list and give that to the people who were making the assembling these boxes. And other people are making different portions of the instruments. So I had maybe six, eight different lists that I would spread out to my people, and they would make them in that order so that they'd all come together and work out real well. So it made things run pretty smooth.
That's a quick run through of your career. What I wanted to talk to you, I guess what I wanted to know about were more of your general reflections and looking back on that career, the change of the firm over time, the change of the industry maybe more broadly, and just your thoughts about the changes in electronics, the changes in the instruments.
Yeah, well, of course, things really changed when the transistor came about, and it was a learning curve. I had to get to school and learn a little bit about transistors. Of course, I've been in electronic stuff all my life. That's the thing I was interested in, so I would play with that at home.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's probably one of the reasons why I didn't advance in the company all that far, because those that going up the ladder, I could see that they were spending most of their time there at the plant and going out with their bosses, playing golf and so forth. And,
right.
And I wanted to get home and work in my shop on electronics. So that's probably one of the reasons why I didn't go up too far. So I was happy with what I was doing. But going into the transistors, of course, that did change everything, and things became smaller. And more reliable, and it was probably the biggest change that took place. So, I don't know what else I might mention as far as the company is concerned.
You really saw it go from a very small operation to an extremely big one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts about that,
Of course, I didn't. I wasn't in a position where was either affected by the changes too much, or I didn't see all this change. So I kind of, into the business of doing the assembly and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't get into it. Seeing as many changes as I might.
Mm.
There were changes in my boss's bosses, some of which were not to my particularly liking, but anyway, it all worked out.
Great. And
Jerry was never my boss. Her boss's boss.
Well, thank you very much, Will.
That
covers the questions I had for Will.
I didn't. Probably wasn't able to add as much as some might that might have been in a little different areas at various times. But
did you talk to him about Howard Carey, the person, and what his impression?
No, I didn't. Other than that, he was extremely smart and actually was, a realizer of certain things. But that is an excellent question.
He could. I think he could visualize how things are going, and he was one of the nicer kind of guys. He wasn't snooty or anything of that sort. He was just a real nice guy. But
did he have the reputation of being honest, credible? How was he thought of by?
Yeah, as far as I know, he was considered to be honest and, of course, very intelligent. Yeah. So, more than that, I don't know.
Well, there's quite a controversy between what Dr. Beckman believes happened and what others believe happened, and why Carey left. And this particular article in the Times, which you may recall, says one of Beckman's few business mistakes came early among his top engineers in the late 30s was Howard Carey, who helped Beckman design the Model D U spectrophotometer, a device that revolutionized laboratory testing by allowing researchers to analyze chemical compounds in seconds. It was a big moneymaker for Beckman, but Carey thought he could redesign it and make it better. Arnold said, "Why?" recalls 60-year-old Peter I. Lippman, a patent attorney in Montrose, who we have to look up, who later worked for Carey. Carey and a handful of other engineers interpret Beckman's decision as choosing profit over science. That was the beginning of the end, as far as Howard was concerned. He took off and started his own company.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the way that I understood it.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, and also, I think Howard and Dr. Beckman disagreed somewhat on wages. I know during the war wages were frozen, but Howard thought that there was a way around that, and he could get should be paying some of us a little bit more money. But I guess Dr. Beckman didn't agree with that, so it was another one of the contentions there.
Right. Wages were frozen during the war.
Yeah, but I guess there were ways around increasing the wages somewhat.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Pat.
So, I guess Dr. Beckman was, you know, he had it set one way, and that's the way it was going to stay.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much. Well, and maybe we'll switch this off for a minute and